at the post office in Jacksdale, and it was in my parents' bedroom, was at the back. You can't see their bedroom from the road at all. It was a room that was built at the back of the place, and at the time my brother Carl was out playing. He'd be about 6 or 7 years old. He was he fell over and scuffed himself, fell flat on his face, blood pouring out of his nose. He'd gone into the bedroom. My mother was in throes of having me, yelling and shouting, doing. Midwife saw Carl coming with all blood streaming down his front. Get him out of here. And my dad had to hustle him out smartish and clean him up in kitchen. You know, find out what was wrong. You know, and that was the story of my birth, really.
You know, back of those, I always wondered, have they got long gardens at the back of them?
Fairly long. The paper shop's garden went a lot further than ours. Ours went so far back, there was a bit of a lawn and then two patches of garden that my dad tried to grow a few things. He'd grow fruit bushes and a few veggies, but not very much at all. And right at the top of the garden was a pigsty that they had built at the end of the war.
Did you keep pigs at all?
They did then, yeah. I think it was a government scheme that if you kept pigs when they were slaughtered, you could keep half of one, half of the pig, and the rest was sold for government funds.
Yeah, so you didn't get anything for half then?
No, Newballs slaughtered the pigs for us, and I can remember sides of bacon hanging up in the kitchen afterwards, so we certainly got some of meat.
There was a lot of pork and bacon in those days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was your dad a big chap or a small chap?
He was quite small.
Because you're a biggish chap.
Yeah, oh, I'm quite a bit bigger than him. Mm. In fact, I've sent a photo of him, of the whole family, sat on the lawn at the back of the post office. As my mum and dad were seated, and I was stood in the middle, and my two brothers stood at the back.
Did they have a sorting office in those days?
Yes.
In your post office?
Yeah. You know the big gates at the side between where butchers, well, where estate agents is now? There's two big double doors that lead up an entry, and at the top of the entry is what was a garage with another room above it, you know, like a two-storey garage. When my parents bought the place as a, you know, to set up a post office, it belonged to Rostrum's paint business, painting and decorating. And this room above the garage was their paint store. It was quite a big room. I mean, the garage was big. It was big enough to get any size car that you'd got at the time. And behind that was the coal shed, and the door to that was around the side, up the side of the garage, coal shed. And behind that was a boiler room that used to heat up pipes in the garage for the postman to sort the mail. And it was set up as a sorting office many a time, you know, every day mail would be done in there. They'd have to move the car out and let the postman in.
So they deliver, they get the mail and just deliver local, would they?
Yeah, well, it was quite a big area. Jacksdale's postal area took in Stonyford and all the farms leading through to Stonyford. All of Ironville, Codner Park, right down the coach road, past the gin stables. Riddings Hill up as far as the bend at the top of the steep bit, and the houses up there. Victoria Street, the two rows at the back of the railway. I can't remember what they were now, but they extended to the front of the main road. I can't remember what they were called, but Old Pye Hill, Westwood, Bagthorpe, Brinsley, some of Underwood, not a lot of Underwood, because Underwood's mail would be delivered from Underwood Post Office.
Was that extensive?
Yeah, it was quite big.
What happened with the remainder then? Was that sent to a different delivery area?
Well, the area mail, you know, for Jacksdale, would be sorted at Nottingham. Mm. You know, they'd be sorting different villages and so on. And that would come first thing in the morning. A van would come before 6 o'clock and bring Jacksdale's mail. And it'd all be sorted, and then I think there's about 5 postmen at the time. They'd sort out their own mail and then into walks, so they'd have, for instance, if you were walking the Albert Avenue area, you'd do Dixie Street, Albert Avenue, Edward Avenue, York Avenue. But before that, you'd do the first bit of the main road, Stone Row, Sedgwick Street, and main road up the first bit of Wagstaff Lane, what they used to call the barracks, at the bottom there. And, as I say, Dixie Street, and all that.
It would be hand delivered. You'd walk.
Oh, yeah. Some of them had a bike. If you were doing the Westwood mail, you'd have a bike, and that would include Palmerston Street, top of Wagstaff Lane, Old Westwood, New Westwood. So, you know, you'd want a bike to get back home on that.
They carry parcels as well, don't
they? Yeah, they got a van that was parked. It was kept overnight in a garage at the top side of the Nobby Limbs pop factory.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember they used to have deliveries of petrol there in those square gallon tins. The brass top on them.
Yeah.
They're turning up on Antiques Roadshow now, they are.
Yeah.
And they used to have these deliveries. They'd be, maybe 100 of these cans of petrol stored in the garage down there.
Yeah.
Any problems with it, and it would have caused a hell of a fire.
Yeah.
But, as I say, the van was kept down there as well. It was a Morris Thousand van they had at the time. So it was.
That's interesting.
It was quite a big sorting office.
Yeah, you'd have to be responsible for all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because a lot of the mail that came in on the morning, especially on Thursdays, I believe, there was a lot of money delivered to pay out pensions and stuff over the post office counter. So anybody that knew about it would, you know, nobbling the mail van. Because it used to come from Nottingham, drop off at Eastwood, and then come down Brinsley Hill.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit lonely up there.
Yeah, them days.
Yeah.
Won't be half the many houses that there is now.
No.
You never had no problems, as you know of?
No.
No incidents?
No. Although, we did have a break-in one night. I'd be about 1964 or 65. It was on the Monday night, and burglars had come. They'd come over the allotments from Dixie Street and Paper Shop's garden into our garden. They'd got a ladder to put them onto the roof of the sorting office behind the shop. And there was a skylight in the roof of that. A flat roof, the skylight in it. They took a pane of glass out, lowered the ladder through, step ladder, into the sorting office. They'd ripped I mean, there'd be quite a bit of mail left in overnight that hadn't been delivered the day before, and they'd ripped all that up to see if there was any money or cheques or anything in it. They took a pane of glass out of the back of the door leading into the back of the shop, and they tipped over a safe with, I think it was a 200 weight safe, tipped it over and had a go at chiselling the back off, because that was apparently the weakest point on it. They didn't manage to get into the safe. They'd got into some quite substantial drawers that were built in under the counter, and they'd stolen postal orders, money orders, even date stamps, so they could stamp the postal orders and so on and cash them in somewhere else. They pinched quite a bit of stuff.
Never caught?
No, never caught. My dad used to sell cigarettes. My dad was a heavy smoker anyway. He sold cigarettes in the shop. They'd stolen loads of them, screwed the packets up out of spite. Not a lot else. I mean, my mum used to sell greeting cards and stationery and stuff, which they hadn't touched. There was obviously no money for it in that for them.
No.
But cigarettes and, as I say, the postal orders. A bit of cash that was left in the drawers. See, most of the cash would have been in the safe overnight.
Yeah,
well, lucky there then. Yeah, but it finished my dad off, really. I mean, he retired a couple of years after that.
Yeah.
And
not a pleasant experience.
No.
Because nasty things can happen in these robberies.
Oh, yeah. You know, you start, if he'd have heard anything and gone down to tackle them, no doubt they'd have nobbled him.
Which school did you go to, Adrian?
I went to Jacksdale Juniors, passed my 11 plus, and went to the Henry Mellish Grammar at Bulwell.
Oh.
And I used to catch the train from Jacksdale to Basford North Station.
Who was the headmaster at Jacksdale at your
day? It was Alex Pringle.
Oh, same when I was there.
Yeah.
Never had no run-ins with him at all?
No, I don't think he was a particular likeable teacher.
No, I gather he used to get cane and strap out.
I did, yeah. The last teacher that I had there, his name was Jack Bonsall, and he was very strict. A lot of the kids didn't like him because he was so strict, but it never bothered me. I think because I knuckled down to the work that we got.
Well, when you got Henry Mellish, you can't do
it. No. Probably. I quite enjoyed it.
Who would be your pals in those days down in Jacksdale? You have regular pals?
Yeah, there was a Derek North. He used to live on Edward Avenue. He was my best pal there. We used to share the same desk, more or less right through school. I can remember the Miss Wilbrams, who used to take the infants' classes, they used to have a tin building at the back of the playground that was for infants, and they used to teach us in there. They used to live at top of Dixie Street. My uncle used to live right at the very top of Dixie Street, on the corner of Dixie and York Avenue, and he was the head baker at the bakery, you know, Colt Bakery down there.
Still standing.
Yeah, very often I'd go and see him in there because I knew I'd get some treats.
Yeah.
And he used to give me them little silver balls that they decorate cakes with.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to give me a few of them every day.
What do you get up to as lads around Jacksdale?
Most of my time was spent playing on the canal side. I was attracted by the canal. And I remember one time going down there, the whole gang of us used to go, maybe half a dozen or eight of us, and there's a wooden bridge over the canal, what they used to call Black Bridge. It used to carry a railway line from the Midland Railway to the northern one. It was only a single track rail. I can just remember the rails being on there, but never any traffic on it when when I was a youngster. Anyway, we used to have a rope hanging from this bridge over the canal. Oh, and it was great fun swinging on it across the canal.
Ever finishing it?
I did, yeah. I'd had some brand new sandals. I shouldn't have been playing with them on. And I'd gone over on this rope and slipped and gone in. Just wet me through up to my knees. But every time I went down there, we'd always have a fire. Good fun, you know, just boiling water up in tin cans, keeping the fire going. It was a bit of a fascination. And I'd put my sandals on some sticks over this fire to dry them out, because they were absolutely wet through with mucky canal water. Anyway, comes the time to see if they were dry. Oh, they were dry all right, they were crisp. Came to fasten them and they just fell apart. All cracked up. What the hell am I going to do now? So I just went home as best I could in my socks, threw the sandals away and just denied any knowledge of where they were. Yeah, I can remember Mum saying, "Where's your sandal?" Can't remember, I don't know. Yeah. Lost them. And that was it. They just shrugged the shoulders. Another pair of sandals to pay for.
Yeah.
But it's always good fun down there.
You mentioned you worked at what, factory limbs?
Yeah.
What duty do you have to do there to earn a drink or a bob or two?
Just earn a bob or two, really. Just clearing up, sweeping bottles, sticking labels on bottles.
Were there any work there at that time?
No, there was just me and two other fellas and the bloke that used to run it, Alan Cooper. He'd got the licence to drive the lorry and go and deliver his. Dave Holmes runs the pet shop. He's a bit of a rum lad. He used to have a couple of tigers. He used to take them for walks up on golf course.
Yeah.
And
they
took them off
him.
Yeah, they took them off him. I mean, they were fairly tame.
Yeah.
But you can never tell with animals like that.
Yeah, did limbs at the Deckmo, did you ever see much of Lim's family?
Only one of the women, Miss Lim, she used to live in a house that is now, I don't know that it still is, but it's the optician's.
Yeah, it used to be optician's,
That used to be her.
One of them did piano lessons.
Yeah, well, she used to give the piano lesson. My parents thought, or my mother thought it was a good idea for me to have piano lessons. Our Carl went, he had piano lessons before me, and he was fairly accomplished at it. He used to play an organ down at Pyle Trinity Methodist Chapel. But when I went for the piano lessons, I used to hate it. Miss Lim, always known as Miss Lim, she used to sit on the piano stool at the side of me, trying to teach me to play scales. She got a couple of bull mastiffs.
That's it, used to stand in there. I went for a few lessons and I packed in because I was absolutely hooked. But bull mastiffs.
Used to come and rip all ivories off the piano keys.
She had a dad upstairs, he used to bang with his stick and she had to leave off.
Yeah.
A few times when I went, while she went upstairs to see what he wanted. You know?
Yeah.
What were you good at school? You must have been pretty clever at it.
Best subject was maths.
You always been good at that?
No, not particularly. Sort of average, you know, I could recite my times tables and things like that. But I've got a bad memory. You know, my memory's terrible. So anything that you got to remember, like history, geography, dates and things like that, I was absolute rubbish at that. But maths, you get the first principles and you can work everything out. But I remember the first year I had at Henry Mellish, it was a disaster as regards health. I had, in the first year, first term, I was struck down with pneumonia and I had, I think it was either 5 or 6 weeks off school. Went back to school again, had another week off with flu, and I was pretty weak and wobbly by this time. Somebody pushed me over in the playground, put my arm out and broke my arm, and eventually gets back to school and into the maths class, and they're all the other kids are doing this stuff called algebra. I haven't got a clue what they were doing. and I must have sat at the desk with a bit of a trembly lip. Maths teacher comes up to me, "What's the matter, lad?" And I said, "I ain't got a clue what you're on about. I know nothing at all." And he spent half an hour with me just concentrating me on this algebra stuff. And it clicked.
Yeah.
I suddenly flew.
Yeah.
I knew I could do anything to do with maths. And
did
I
you carry on
it.
Like that through Henry Mellish? Were you still?
No, I was bloody rubbish.
Pardon?
I was rubbish.
Were you?
Yeah. Because of this bad memory, I couldn't do things like history and geography. And in
could you speak to one subject in...
Well, eventually you could either take the arts side or the more scientific side. And I stuck with the scientific side, doing the maths, chemistry, physics, biology. And I loved those subjects. Wasn't particularly red hot at the chemistry side, because there was a lot of dates and stuff to be remembered. But I managed to get 7 O-levels, and then I thought, should I go on for the A-levels? No, but nobody was there to advise you what to do. And it was then I started getting bad marks and so on, and left.
If I could just go back a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Were you sporty at school at all?
No, not at all. In fact, one particular day, they used to send us on a cross-country run. And it always started running from the school buildings across the playing field and through a gate in the far corner, up a couple of side streets, across a golf course, round the back of Rice Park Farm and back again. When we get back to the playing field, one particular bully of a teacher was checking all the back of everybody's hands. The sneaky so-and-so had been in his car up to the top of Rice Park, furthest point, and he'd been date stamping everybody as they'd gone through. Mm. And there was about half a dozen of us had got no date stamps. We'd run across the playing field, just round the corner, and lit up, had a few couple of fags, and waited for the others coming back, and joined in at the back end.
Yeah.
So we were nailed with that.
Did you have a bike at all?
Yes, I had a very good bike. In fact, at first I used to go on a train to Basford, to the school. It was only a 10-minute walk from Basford North Station to the school. My brother Carl had got a Mercian racing bike. It used to be handmade at Derby. He was very kind and sold it to me for not a lot. I think he was, at the time, he'd got married and it was a bit hard up. I think I gave him something like 20 quid for this bike. Fabulous thing. And he used to bike it to school every day. I could set out from home as the train was coming into Jacksdale Station and I'd be at Basford before the train. I used to really enjoy that. I used to call at Hucknall. I used to go through Moor Green and Hucknall to get to school. And I used to call there for another lad. It was the vicar's son. We'd bike it the rest of the way. I used to like the handicraft lessons there, woodwork and metalwork. I've sort of carried on with the woodwork a bit since, you know, it was a bit of a hobby.
Did your dad always live at the post office then, or did he move after he retired?
It was, when they were first married, Mum and Dad, they used to live on York Avenue, and my dad worked at Pye Hill Pit. It was only, I think it was just a ganger. My mother had seen that the post office, which was across in Wilbraham's, one of Wilbraham's buildings, was closing. The postmaster then was retiring, and she'd seen that the painter's business across the road was up for sale. And she put two and two together, and she'd fetched my dad from the pit and suggested that he applied for the job. And I don't know how, but he got it. He got the job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'd no qualifications of anything at all.
Better than being at Pitt, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
But your mum was quite chuffed with
she
that,
was.
Well,
she was lady of the manor there.
Yeah. Did your mum help out at the post office?
She did, yeah. She got her own little private business selling sweets and stationery. greeting cards and that sort of thing. But she'd help out with the post office side of it. And Friday nights was accounts night. They had to balance the post office's books and do stock takes on all the stuff they got, stamps and postal orders and so on. And I can remember the table in the kitchen, it would be covered in the slips from pension books.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they used to stamp them and part of it out. And they used to have to sort all them out into the different kinds of benefits and how much was paid out.
Would family have time to go have any holidays in those days?
Not a lot. Certainly not as a whole family. Either my mum or my dad would take some of us on holiday. You were tied with the post office.
Yeah.
You know, it's open every day, apart from Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So it was, they were tied down, really. I remember my mum taking us on a holiday. There was myself, my two brothers, and my mum. My dad had took us to Anderby Creek. I don't know if you know of it.
Yeah.
What a dump.
Still, there's just a few bungalows, I think, in the shop. Very quiet.
Yeah, anyway, my dad had took us and left us. He came back to look after the shop.
Would he have a car in those days, your dad?
I can't remember him having one then. He may have borrowed one, but he had driving lessons from a fella, Fred Ferrell. He used to give these driving lessons.
Well, there weren't many cars in Jackson in those days.
No. Eventually they bought one from, it was a second-hand one, one of these big black, or it seemed big at the time, big black Wolseley that police used to drive a lot. The running boards down each side.
Yeah. You mentioned it a little bit earlier, before it was the post office, what did you say it was?
It was a painter and decorator's business.
Painter and decorator, who was that, can you remember?
Rostrum's, Harry Rostrum.
Because they would be there really with the butchers, wouldn't they? Be a butcher?
Yeah, that was Walter's butchers.
And then
he got his shop at the front where the estate agent's business is. Behind that was another shed building that he used to slaughter the animals and do his butchery business. I don't think he did a lot of slaughtering. A lot of his meat was brought in from elsewhere. Newball certainly did slaughtering down on Salston Lane, and they slaughtered the pigs that we kept.
Yeah, would have newsagents when you were...
That was...
That'd be Bossingham.
It was Bossingham's. Mrs. Sharp, or Miss Sharplin, she was before she married Bossingham. I say he was the signal man at Jacksdale. He took me down to his signal box once or twice, just to show me how it worked. Quite interesting. What else did we get up to? Talk about falling in the canal. There used to be a little brook at the back of the railway. You know, you've got the Portland Arms, then the station, and there was a little brook ran through that delivered into Portland Brook. And I was down there playing with my pal, the Derek North, that I went to school with. We'd both got wellies on, so we were well protected, trying to get across this brook. And it was only maybe no more than 2 foot wide. I'd sort of waded in with my wellies. Got almost halfway across. I was still got a bit of leeway before water came over the top of my wellies. Took another step and it was about another 6 inches deeper. So, what am I going to do? I'll get a wailing from my mum if I go home.
Oh, yeah.
Wet through.
Yeah. You spend much time in Picture Palace at all?
Yeah.
Saturday matinee.
Saturday matinee. There was always a cheer went up when they told us what was appearing the following week. You know, I don't know, was the projectionist then. Did Limbs used to run that?
I don't know, Bill Parr was...
Might have been
Bill Parr. He used to deal with the projectionist, so I gather, at Jacksdale and Riddings.
Yeah.
But whether he did it in those days, I don't know.
I might have done. But there were a couple who used to live opposite the school gates. He was caretaker at the school, and I think she used to do a bit of cleaning and such in there. But both of them used to work at the pictures as well, to sell tickets and so on.
You'd probably queue up and get somebody to take you in, do you? You used to get on that?
No, I never had to have any problems getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we used to go to the Saturday rush, Threepenny rush.
Yeah. What were Christmases like, your Christmases like in those days?
Not bad. We used to have a Christmas tree, artificial one, and it was losing a lot of its tinsel when I can remember it. And they had a set of fairy lights, and all the bulbs were screwing jobs. And every year it was the same. One of the bulbs didn't work, so you had to try them all. Have a bulb that you knew did work.
Yeah.
Chase any faults round.
What sort of things would you get?
Mostly things that weren't rationed. I used to get a sock hung up with some fruit in it, apple and orange maybe, and a few handful of nuts, bar chocolate. And I remember one particular year, I shared a bedroom with my brothers, and this particular year I'd got an Aero bar in this sock. And I remember saying, I don't like Aero. I never got another chance. It had gone. Brothers had snaffled it and ate it before I could change my mind. I was youngest.
You were youngest?
Yeah.
Didn't get picked on then, no?
No, they were good to me. I remember Carl hitting me once, and he more or less knocked me out. I saw stars, and he gave me a bit of a wallop, sent me flying. But we all got on together. We used to play cricket on the main road outside the post office, and had to move every time a bus came through, and that was the only times.
Yeah.
There were no other traffic.
No.
And we used to play cricket in the yard behind those big double gates, and one of us had flicked the ball up and it smashed a window above the doors. Carl went across to see Eddie Wilbraham to see if he could fix it before my parents found out, and told him that he'd broken this window. And Eddie says to him, classic line, as it broke both sides. Yes, he was a bit of a character, was Eddie.
Yeah, still is. Yeah, I've had three interviews with him that took part in D-Day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he went in second day.
Right.
And he watched Corn being bombed to the ground from a hill above the over, telling us. And yeah, it's 95 this year, I think.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, and then my auntie Wilbraham. I don't know if you remember Stendhal Wilbraham.
Yes, very well.
Stendhal's wife Dorothy, she's still alive. She's 98 this year. She lives at...
Was she the one that ran the hairdressing?
No, she ran other part at shop, haberdashery. Yeah, Stendhal were a plumber and Eddie were a plumber.
Horace was the...
Eddie's wife had hairdressers.
Yeah.
She were Abgood, I think.
Abgood, yes.
She run hairdressers and your side.
Wasn't it Stendhal Habgood? Oh, Stendhal Habgood was their son.
Yeah.
They had two sons, Stendhal and Warren, was the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Warren. I think they all moved to Australia, though.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Dorothy still hears from them and Eddie does. Did you go on to higher education after Henry Mellish then?
Well, when I left Mellish, I was pointed in the direction of the Labour Exchange at Eastwood. Go and get yourself a job. And I hadn't a clue what I wanted to do. I think because I liked working in laboratories, I told them at the Labour Exchange that I wouldn't mind a job in a lab somewhere. And fortunately, at Eastwood Hall, at the bottom of Mansfield Road, they had a coal board lab.
Oh, coal board offices were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went in there. Stayed with them for about 5 years, and then they started, there was a bit of unrest where they were shutting bits down and they wanted us to move to labs in other areas, and most of us that were in the labs applied for jobs elsewhere. I remember myself and Dave Thomas, who married Janet Crampton, we both went for jobs at Alverton Explosives, and fortunately he got the job. Fortunately, because he had to leave 6 months after with terrible headaches. The fumes from the explosives used to give him rotten headaches.
Yeah.
And I went from there to Aglite at Denby, only for a year. And from there, I moved to the laboratory at Adsheds at Belper, where they made paints and adhesives and that sort of stuff. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. But I had a run in with the bloke that was in charge of us, and I more or less told him to stuff his job. I'd had enough of his particular attitude. Walked out, and the next week I got a job at Players at Nottingham, working in their labs. And I was there for 30 odd years. I had a brief spell in the middle of my Players' employment. They advertised internally for somebody to run the main computer, and I applied for it. Lab manager says, no, you don't want to do that. It's a boring job. And I thought, no, I'm going to defy him and stick it out. As it happens, it was a shift work job. We were married at the time, and we'd got a little lad. I needed the extra money, the shift pay. So I went, applied for it, got the job as a computer operator for a few years.
Yeah.
And eventually they shut the computer down in Nottingham, moved it all to the head office at Bristol under Will's tobacco factory. So I didn't particularly want to move to Bristol, and eventually I ran a satellite computer at Nottingham that was linked to the Bristol one, and ran that for a couple of years, and eventually that disappeared. They wanted me to accept redundancy, and I said, no, get me a job back in the lab, which they did, and that developed into quite a decent occupation until I accepted early retirement, and that was it.
Out. We'll just go back a little bit. What did you get up to as a Jacksonville teenager? What were your interests before you met Pat?
Pictures, tennis. We used to play tennis at the where the garden centre is now.
Oh, yeah.
The caretaker there lived across the road from the Hooks at the bottom. I can't remember his name, but we'd got quite a little gathering.
John Cully? No, it wasn't John, was it?
No, John Cully used to.
Church one.
But we used to run this club between us. There'd be about a dozen of us.
Was that a tennis club?
At the tennis club. There were some of the players who were very good at tennis. John Linnethan, that used to work for Newbold's Butchers, he was very good.
Playing in a league then, or?
Pardon?
Did they have a league, playing a league? Or
no, it was just amongst ourselves. And at school, I used to play tennis. They'd got no tennis courts at the school, the secondary school, as it is, when I went on my bike. And about half a dozen of us used to go play in the high school's tennis courts, which were down on Valley Road, near the City Hospital. As I say, this tennis club that we'd got, used to do all sorts there, play tennis and table tennis. At winter's evenings we'd go play cards and Monopoly.
Yeah.
We'd got a little record player that we'd set up. So it was just to keep us off the streets. Mm. I belonged to a youth club as well that used to be run by Eric Armstrong in the Hooks down at the bottom of the drive to the tennis club. That was well supported and used to organise entertainment for us. He'd book people to come in and give us talks and various things. I think the most memorable one was a blind fella that came. We had to meet him off the bus, a C5 bus, take him to the Hooks for him to give his talk. He was a piano tuner, and he'd tune the piano up for us while he was giving us this talk. And I can remember him flipping the cover off his watch and feeling the fingers on it. Well, it's time I finish now.
Yeah.
And I'd take him out to catch his bus back home. That was a memorable one. One year we decided we were going to put on a musical show, parents and anybody that wanted to come and see it. And one or two were singing. Some of us we got a bit of a mock band that we were miming to Shadows Records. And very good fun.
Did your dad, did their brand have anything to do with British Legion? I've got a feeling.
No. Not enough.
I wasn't sure, to be honest. No, I've got a feeling at the back of my mind that he had, but he
was. I think my mum used to keep a bit of a tight rein on him. Occasionally he'd sneak out and go to the working men's club at the top of Stone Row. just to sneak an occasional drink.
Yeah.
Not very often.
No. Where did you meet Pat?
I'd suffered one or two girlfriends, and we'd broken up. And this particular time, one of the fellas that started work with me in the coal board labs, we'd kept in touch, he'd got a job at Stevenson's Dyers at Ambergate, and I'd been talking to him and said, have you got any young lasses there that are interesting? And he said, yeah, I'll fix you up with one. And it was purely blind date. We'd arranged to meet at the phone box at the corner of Golden Valley. It's still there. It's our phone box. We'd been given a time to arrive there. We both turned up quarter an hour early just to see what the opposition was like.
Yeah.
I took it to a cinema in Nottingham. I'd got an A35 van. And anyway, I went to this cinema. And it was a film, it was a James Bond film that had just come out, or recently come out, and we'd both seen it before. Mm. But neither of us owned up to having seen it. And it just blossomed from there.
Oh, lovely.
We'd arranged to meet again, and
eventually
we were married at Ironville. Pat was the youngest of seven. She'd got two brothers and four sisters.
What was Pat's family's maiden name, if you don't mind me asking?
Pat's maiden name was Edwards. They lived in a house just up the coach road from Golden Valley. It was a semi-detached house. The other was lived in by Phillips. I think he was an electrician at Butterley. Pat's father, my father-in-law, he worked on the railway. He'd been a miner at some stage, but he'd worked on the railway for quite a long while as a permanent way inspector. So, you know, he wasn't shy of doing a bit of hard work.